Nevertheless, she persisted, and Jesus smiled upon her. I remember when our boys were wee little ones, and we would be running to and fro from church. I always thought Sunday mornings were the most holy, unholy times in our house, because it was like, get up, come on, we're late, let's get going. And we would throw everybody into the car, try to throw a granola bar into their mouths. We would get here, we'd run them to the Sunday school, we'd run them down to the nursery, we'd try to get everybody where they were going. And when we would finally come crashing into our pews, and Tom and I would look at each other and say, wow, what even happened there? And there was always some beautiful older church lady who would come up and say, you know, you should enjoy this time now because it only gets worse. And you're only as happy as your least happy child. And I remember hearing that at the time and thinking, well, that's a little bit of a downer. And now, of course, that I'm older, there were no truer words ever spoken. When our loved ones are happy and healthy, we are happy. And when our loved ones are struggling, we struggle along with them. And grandparents tell me the pain is even worse when it's your grandchild who is struggling. Your heart hurts for your grandchild, but also for their mom or dad, your child. You long for them to be healed of whatever it is that ails them. Being Jack's mom for 30 years and working here at church with so many families of kids who struggle, I've had the honor of knowing more tenacious, indefatigable gold medal moms than I can count. Each one of them powerful, resilient, awe-inspiring. People see us coming and they shudder. Oh no, what do they want now? We all know the look. We've learned that we have to fight for our kids to be part of things that other kids just sign up for. And we're not afraid to do so. If God has trusted them to our care, we're going to give it our all. In this week's lesson, we meet one such mom. We don't even know her name, and really that's half the story. We just know that she's a Syrophoenician woman, an outsider, a girl from the other side of the tracks. Her little girl is sick, and she pushes aside all those inner thoughts of, I hate asking for help. They'll think I'm pushy. They'll think I'm being annoying. Will I be even further ostracized by asking for the help my daughter needs and deserves? But she pushes her self-needs aside and focuses on her daughter. Casting her fear and doubt aside, she summons her courage, runs to Jesus, and bows down at his feet. She begs Jesus, please, cast the demons out of my daughter. Heal her. We expect Jesus to reach out his hand and heal her daughter, but instead, Jesus rebukes her. Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Can you imagine how that mom heard those words? In today's language, sorry, we barely have enough resources to help our typical kids. It's not fair to take anything from them to help your child. Not to be deterred, the woman says, sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Even my disabled child deserves your love. We know that Jesus was tired. We know he was trying to find some much-needed time away for him and for his disciples. Maybe he just didn't have the oomph anymore to help her. Or maybe the world's preference for the strongest and the smartest and the most perfect was creeping its way into his humanity. Maybe he heard her words and thought, "Wow, thank you for the reminder, God. I'm sorry. Of course your daughter deserves all that I have to offer, and then some." We don't know why exactly, but we do know that this mom's words, this mom's persistence, made Jesus change his mind. "For saying that," Jesus told her, "you may go. The demon has left your daughter." As a person whose family tree is riddled with all sorts of socially unacceptable diseases, I've had a front row seat to all kinds of rejection, or the more subtle, more painful whisper and snub. It used to hurt me a lot, especially when I was a kid. But now I try to brush it off and move on, because I'm old enough to understand that people who whisper and snub do so because they too are hurting. What Jesus teaches us repeatedly is to listen to those who are different. They just might change your mind like they did his. Every week, this church is filled with people who get together who don't quite fit the norm. Support groups for people who suffer with mental illness, AA groups, even Bible study groups. Every Monday and Thursday night, the gym is filled with people with disabilities and people who just love hanging out with them because it brings them joy. When Jesus asks us to listen to those who are different, to love one another exactly as I have loved you, he does so knowing that these others make our lives better. Some of the coolest, most interesting, wise, and loving people that I know are people who have suffered through something big and something painful in their life. They don't sweat the small stuff. They don't worry about the insignificant chatter around them. They get what's important in life, and they share their love so freely with others. American author and theologian Frederick Buechner writes, "You have to suffer in order to be truly beautiful. If so much as a single one of you were missing, there would be an empty place at the great feast of life that no one else in all of creation could fill." I think that God invites us to listen to those who are different than us, not only because it honors God's children, who are God's creation, after all, but because it's good for our hearts and our souls. Our lives are made richer when we spend time with people outside the norm. When we're feeling worried or anxious or overwhelmed, there's nothing like helping others to bring joy and to bring hope and to bring peace back into our lives. I think of Jerry, the beautiful centenarian who spent the afternoon with me Tuesday sharing the stories of her life. She couldn't see, she could barely hear, and she was so full of wisdom. She kept looking at me and saying, "You know, being 100 isn't all it's cracked up to be." Or Arlen, whose funeral next door to the VFW was so overflowing with people that they had to open up all the doors and windows so that folks could peer in and honor this man who lived a simple and humble life of service to his country and his neighbors. Or Jordy, one of our Mount Olivet special needs guys, who greeted me for the whole first month of knowing me by looking at me and shouting, "Off with your head!" And he meant it. Or George, who came to the home to read the newspaper to his wife every single day, even though she hadn't known who he was for years. "But I know who she is," he always said. So many people, so many stories. Sir, the mom reminded Jesus, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Our gospel challenge for this week is this. Find someone who could use a little lovin'. There's a lot of people who could use some loving. Someone who's older or alone or different, not someone who hangs out in your normal circle. Give them a call or a visit, or maybe even take them for a piece of pie like George and I used to do every June 18th. It will bring joy to both of your days. I guarantee it. The life I touch, for good or ill, will touch another life, and in turn another, until who knows where the trembling stops or in what far place my warm touch will be felt. Amen.